On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
See, a Dr. Moe's theme.
And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my...
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Dr. Kevin Most. Good morning, Doc.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Fine. How was the big Most family Easter?
It was fun. Everyone was there except David, who is still in Phoenix at spring training, even though the Cubs have been playing, you know, regular games for a while.
He just stayed? Does he not know spring training's over?
Yeah, I think he just decided to hang out there.
But he got confused.
Everyone else is there.
Well, that's nice. And your mom's well?
Yeah, mom's well. Yeah, we actually had it at her house, so it was nice. It was nice to see everybody.
Nice that you actually have your mom still cooking for you at your age. That's very impressive.
I'd like you to know that I catered for Maggiano's.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Actually, my mother cooked for me. Yeah. At 641, let's talk a little bit about the fact that the flu is not only still here, it's still causing big problems.
It is, and this will hopefully won't be, but potentially could be a very frustrating year for flu people. You know, we had the big impact of the flu, you know, through December and January, and even into mid-February, actually, where we saw these increasing rates of influenza type A. And then finally, we started to see a decrease in these cases, and now we're starting to see a bump up, but the bump up is not influenza A, it's influenza B. So it's a totally different strain. So this is the one year that you could actually end up with two cases of the flu, which would not be fun.
Does that happen very often?
No, you know, usually we see the little bumps on both sides, but we saw such high numbers of individuals with influenza A this year. You know, normally we'll see a decent number and then a dip and then a decent number. But because the vaccine was not a great match, and this was such a strong virulent strain, that we saw these big, huge numbers, and now we're just going to have to keep our fingers crossed and hope that this one just kind of peters out.
So, Doc, are you more at risk or less at risk if you had already had the flu this winter or didn't have it?
Yeah, it's interesting. This one is one where your immune system is probably turned on still for all influenza. So anybody who gets the influenza B at this point would probably have a shorter case and a less intense case. But anybody who hasn't had anything at all could still get whacked pretty hard.
All right, so symptoms the same?
Yep, symptoms are exactly the same, which is frustrating. People say, I already had this. You've told me I can't get it twice. But unfortunately, because it's a totally different strain, but you're still going to get that high fever, the body aches, the feeling like someone just hit you with a car.
We had someone at the TV station yesterday, Doc, and she was sneezing and sneezing and sneezing. She said, I don't know if I'm getting sick or if allergy season is starting right now.
Yeah, it's a great thing. You know, allergy season is starting, even though you look at it and say, wait a second, you just told us that the weather is going to be terrible for the next 10 days. Mm-hmm. Well, we're starting to see some greening and we're starting to see some buds on trees, not to a point where they're pollinating yet, but we are going to start to see spring allergies pop up pretty quick here. And I think it's going to be one of those where once we get a little bit of a warm burst, you're going to see your spring allergies go crazy probably in a couple of weeks.
And people all the time go, I don't know if I have an allergy thing going on or a cold. There are distinctions between the two. What's the best way to tell the difference?
Yeah, usually, you know, it's going to be a fever and how long it lasts. Allergy symptoms, depending on what you're allergic to, can go on for a month. Well, colds don't. Colds are going to be, you know, 10 days, 7 days, and you're going to see fever, body aches, and usually it's going to start out as a sore throat, kind of go up into your sinuses and then down into your lungs. Where allergies, you get exposed to something, you kind of get the full whack right away if you have a high allergy to something. You can walk into a room, if you're allergic to cats, you can walk into a room and say, I know there's a cat here. So the spring allergies are going to be more of a, you're going to know exactly what your fever or your symptoms are. You're going to get that sneezing, you're going to get runny eyes, runny nose, itchy eyes. Those are the things that we're going to start to see with the spring allergies.
I had a question come up this weekend. There are three that I'm aware of. You can correct me here, but there are three main over-the-counter allergy drugs that people take, you know, all the time. Claritin, Zyrtec, and Allegra.
Correct.
Is there anything else that's out there that competes at the same level?
Well, Benadryl is still the number one, but the bad thing about Benadryl is you take 50 milligrams of Benadryl, there's a good chance you're going to take a nap because it's going to knock you out. But those other three are the non-sedating ones. Are they equal? Not really. It really depends on the individual as to which one works. So someone might take Allegra and say, these don't work at all. And yet Zyrtec will work very well for them. But the big thing about antihistamines is we're trying to block the release of histamine in our body. We have a histamine in our body. It's in cells. It comes out when we're exposed to something we're allergic to. So we're trying to block that. And Benadryl is still one of the best. But again, like I said, the side effects are not fun.
It used to knock me out if ever I took Benadryl, because I always had a cat issue. And if I ever took Benadryl, I was asleep in about three minutes, you know, which isn't great if you're driving a car. What about Flonase? Is that comparative?
Yeah, well, Flonase is good for once you have the symptoms to try to relieve some of the symptoms, where the antihistamines are trying to block you from even getting those symptoms. So you're taking those, actually, people start taking Zyrtec and that, Allegra, just before allergy season starts so that they don't get the symptoms, where Flonase is going to help you with the symptoms once you get it.
If you're taking other prescription medications, do those over-the-counters have interactions?
Well, there's always a chance for interaction, so you should really check anytime you're going to start a new over-the-counter medicine, because doctors often don't know you're even taking them. But there's plenty of websites where you can go. You can Google drug interactions, and you can enter all the drugs that you're on, and it'll tell you whether there's an interaction if you want to add the antihistamine. It's a good thing to do now because of the world of polypharmacy, many people take many drugs. Some get them from their stomach doctor. Some get them from their lung doctor. Some get them from their primary care. We try to make sure we communicate well, but unfortunately we don't sometimes because we don't know that you went to a different doctor unless it's on the same electronic medical record. And for those reasons, we want to make sure that people make sure that they own their medical records and that they own their health records as far as medications so that you can update it when you see a doctor, and you can also make sure that everything that you're taking is not going to interact with anything else.
Yeah, and I'll bring it all the way full circle here. Wash your hands. Wash your hands all the time. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. And then what should you do? Wash your hands. Doc taught us how to wash our hands, what, about a year ago, I guess it was?
Yeah, probably was. Yeah.
Happy birthday, right?
Yeah, you have to sing the full song of happy birthday.
Yep.
Don't use an air blow dryer.
Correct.
If possible, open and close the door, the bathroom door, with a paper towel.
Yep.
What am I missing? I think that was the main things.
No, you got them. That's amazing that you listen.
Yeah.
And carry a lot of Purell with you.
Yeah, or in Audrey's case, yes, to wear a Purell suit. Hey, I want to ask you about something else when we come back. Eddie Olchek declared being cancer-free last week, and we all applauded. That's something that anybody who has suffered that situation, the big C, the scary C, would love to be able to say. So I want to ask you about that when we come back. Dr. Kevin Mosley joins us. Northwestern Medicine, taking care of business as always, and we always appreciate the help of Dr. Most and the expertise. So text question, Doc, before we get to the Eddie Olchek story. Should you get a second flu shot ever?
Well, that's a great question. You know, people are giving flu shots so early. You know, if you remember this past summer, we had pharmacies out there touting that they had the flu vaccine and they were giving them in August, and you know, probably not a great idea. Most people are going to say that, no, you really don't. You don't need what we would call a booster. But I'll tell you that there have been years when we've seen no flu until really late in the year. And I can tell you a lot of people have had boosters. Would I say get a booster this year? Probably not. Reason being is we didn't have a really good match this year. So why get a shot that really wasn't very effective in the first place? We talk about the effectiveness of this year's flu vaccine, you know, in that 30% range. So really, it's not going to give you much of a benefit. But I still go to the adage of you don't need a flu shot in August. Get it in October, and it's going to give you coverage through the whole year.
Sammer?
Doc Most, I want to know, is there any accountability to that panel of people that picked the wrong flu vaccine?
You want them killed?
Yeah, well, like the weather people, when they're incorrect, nobody loses a job or anything over it.
Right.
Well, if you're always incorrect, you'd lose a job.
but, so, like, you that whole
Well, panel, who are the predictor people? Who are the flu predictors?
Yeah, you know, the World Health Organization gets together and they look at all of the data, and then that's what who comes up with it. And like we said, you know, flu vaccines are built on a whole bunch of data as far as what happened the year before, what happened in the Southern Hemisphere, and what we kind of predict is going to happen. The bad thing is that the virus can mutate. And if it mutates to a stronger and a more virulent strain, there's nothing they could have done about
that. It's a zombie virus. It's a zombie virus walking the earth. What's their hit rate?
Predict it.
What's their average? I mean, are they normally 75% hit?
Yeah, absolutely. The efficacy of the vaccine is usually in the high 60s up till 75-80%.
Okay, yeah. So 30 is bad.
30 is bad. Yeah, we had a bad year this year. And then they come out and they tell you we had a bad year.
Eddie Olchek declared himself cancer-free last week. We're thrilled, obviously. Talk about that for a second. Are you ever cancer-free? Are you waiting for the other shoe to drop? Is this something that's possible for other people?
Yeah, well, you know, you saw even what he said. He said, hey, I'm cancer-free. I'm very happy, but I'm still scared. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we know that cancer can come back. But congrats to Eddie. I mean, he fought a great battle, and I think the coolest thing about it is he was extremely open about this.
Yeah.
You know, and he so appreciated everyone's thoughts and prayers, but he also made us more aware of colon cancer. And we talked almost a year ago to the day here about how colon cancer is impacting younger people right now, unfortunately. You got to remember, Eddie was 50 when he was diagnosed. He didn't even have a chance to do his first colonoscopy, and he had already been diagnosed.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? Because if 50 is the number, don't take it lightly. I mean, don't wait till you're 60. I mean, go at 50 and get checked.
Absolutely. Probably the biggest thing is do it and follow up on it. We'll talk about a different test here in a second, hopefully. But probably one of the big things here is that if it is caught early, it can be treated. It can actually be treated just by doing the colonoscopy, where the polyp that would become cancer can be removed. So the importance of getting that screening is I can't say how important it is. You got to remember, 150,000 new cases of this year, 50,000 deaths. It's 8% of all cancers are colon cancer. We have a terrible diet in this country that leads us to have a higher chance of colon cancer. So it's really one that we should be really aware of.
Yeah, and the test is going to, if the test is clean, you're not going to do it again for what, another 7 years?
Yeah, 7 to 10 years, depending on your history and what they actually see.
And if it's not clean, you're going to go back in to keep monitoring it so you'll know what you're dealing with.
Absolutely. Yep.
So I don't know what the downside would be, other than the prep really sucks. Well, what's new in the testing world for this?
Yeah, that's the big thing, is a lot of people say, I don't want to get it. It's inconvenient. It's a whole day off of work, and you know the prep is not fun. Well, right now, as of 2014, a test was approved called Cologuard, where we take a small portion of your stool and you mail it in, and it looks for abnormal DNA that we see in colon cancers, and it looks for blood. So if the person says, I am not going to get a colonoscopy, I'm not going to do that, at least go and talk to your doctor about doing the Cologuard. It's a simple test, and it's a great screening test. If it's positive, you're going to need to have a colonoscopy. But it's negative, you get a 3-year wave until you do it again.
One last thing before we run out of time, Andrea.
Yeah.
We were going to talk about organ donation, too, a little bit, and
you
how.
Yeah. Let's do that next week.
Okay,
you know, organ donation, organ transplants are so important. April is organ donation month. I think that we should really have some awareness on
that. Right, so let's not short sell it.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, this week you have an opportunity to, say, give someone a kidney or a liver on the CTA. Go ahead and do it for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's Life Goes On. We'll still talk about it, but lifegoeson.com is where you go to sign up. But I really think we should probably give it a little bit of time because it is so important.
I'm an organ donor. Who else?
Yep.
Right here.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. Grzanich, apparently not. No, Grzanich isn't sitting in his chair right now. Thank you, Doc.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here.